It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And on the Church Bible, it is on page 1166. Not 1066, it's 1166. Starting at verse 7 and going on to verse 10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The Lord add a blessing to his word.
Good morning. Good morning. Quite a while since I've been here. And I can see lots of new faces, and I find that very encouraging. It means you're in good health, you're beginning to grow and expand a wee bit. But I wonder what you made of that reading. It sort of jumped right into the middle of a passage of Scripture. But it's about Paul, and he's got really down in the dumps. He's really got fed up. Now, I don't know how you're feeling this morning. I don't know whether you're full of the joy of life or whether everything is, as the old song says, June is busting out all over. Well, it's nearly here. I wonder, what sort of attitude are you in this morning? Maybe deep down, you didn't want to be here this morning, but you felt you better come, because otherwise you might get a visit from one of the deacons, and someone says, "Now, come on, you're not playing the game. You need to get along to the church." But why was Paul down in the dumps? Because he wrote so much of the New Testament. And he's got so much good advice to give us. Mind you, of course, God gave it to him by the Holy Spirit. But he's sharing it. But why is he down in the dumps? Well, if you know the context of the passage, the little few verses before, he's talking about great experiences. He's all been on a high. He's been caught up to the third heaven. He's really been, if I can say it carefully, living it up with the Lord. He's really having a great time with Jesus, and it's been tremendous. Maybe he's seen people come into Christ. Maybe he's been baptizing people. Maybe people have just been saying, "Oh, we need your Savior. Show us, lead us to him." And he's just been caught up. He says it was an experience that was really out of the body. Now, we don't talk much about experiences like that, but maybe you've had some when you've been on a real high. Maybe you went to some great meeting or service and God really got hold of you and lifted you right up and you thought, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. And we know from Scripture that on one occasion, Jesus went up a mountain and he took three of his disciples with him and they had a great time because they saw Moses and they saw Elijah talking with Jesus. And they said, this is tremendous. We don't want to go home. We want to stay here. We want to build places that we could live in so we could stay here. That is a tremendous experience. We want to stay there with that tremendous experience of God. We want that all the time. But then suddenly comes the nosedive. We really have to come back to earth. Because as Jesus said to the disciples, oh no, 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 we can't do that. We can't stay here. We've got to go back. And he went back. And here was Paul. He says, I've got a thorn in the flesh. Now, when I was a young man, that was quite a while ago now, I was told, do you know what the thorn in the flesh was? Paul's wife. That's what I was told. A lot of people don't think Paul was married. But others do because of the role that he had in the synagogue and he had to be married to carry that work out. But there we are. But it doesn't tell us what the thorn in the flesh was. And that's very, very important because we don't know. But from a great experience to total, I suppose today we would call it depression, really lost it. And he's really upset. And he says, and to make matters worse, I told the Lord or asked the Lord three times, take the thorn in the flesh away. Now, here's the question. What's your thorn in the flesh? Don't tell me it's your wife, I'll thump you. Not literally, of course. But what is it that is making you depressed? What is making you feel worthless? What is making you feel God can't use me? You say, well, you know, we know about Paul. He was able to rise above it. He was able to get out of it. He was a man who was used by God and far used more by God than I am. And really, I'm not much use to God. It's just a waste of time. Have you got to that point where you feel you're useless? That you're totally unable to be used by God because of your thorn in the flesh? Oh, you've prayed. You've asked for prayer. You've been out for prayer. You've had hands laid on you and you've still got it. Why? Well, it's said in that passage quite clearly. I want you to be used by me, says God, with the thorn in the flesh. I want you to know that no matter how low you are, how depressed you are, how unqualified you may feel yourself to be, I'm going to use you. Boy, that's a wake-up call, isn't it? God, in my state of health, God, in my mental capabilities, and some of us think we're losing it, you know, we keep forgetting things. Well, God says, in your condition, I can use you. Why? Because my power, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, let's just take a simple illustration. At least I hope it's simple. If you're strong, if you're healthy, if you're really 100% with it mentally and physically, people say, well, of course he can do it. Marvelous. He can do anything because he's got the capability and the ability and he can be used. But if you're weak, if you're a person who isn't, and I'll say it carefully, quite with it at times, and suddenly people see, look at that person. In that situation, they are being used by God. That's the tremendous thing. And he says, yes, in your weakness, you will fulfill your potential. Quite simply, education is a marvelous thing. And you know, I used to think I'd never be used by God. I'll never be helpful to God. I really can't see God using me, because when I came to faith in Christ as a 17 years of age, I knew that God wanted me to preach and teach. I had no doubt in my mind. But you know, I had never passed an exam in my life. I failed the 11 plus. What's the 11 plus? Someone remembers. I didn't pass that. Half my mates went to grammar school. I never made it. I left at school at 14 years of age and went out to work. And I never passed an exam. Hopeless. Cut a long story short, I didn't pass any till I got into national service, and I passed them all. That was because it was practical experience. And I did my 2 years and came out. Eventually, believe it or not, 35 years of age, I went to Scotland to a Bible college, the Bible Training Institute. And then, of course, they said to me, oh, dearie me, you better go to the English classes, because my English was terrible. Couldn't write it to save my life. And I still think I've got a bit of paper. It's in the attic. One of my exam papers that I did at the college. And my teacher who taught English, she's written in beautiful writing, in beautiful red ink, Douglas, 27 words and not a sentence. Hopeless! How on earth could I become a preacher of the word of God? Couldn't write. Though she did say to me, if only you wrote like you preached, there'd be no problem. But there we are. On holiday, got the shock of my life. She wrote me a letter. My teacher at college. I opened it up. And inside, Douglas, I don't know how you did it. You passed your GCE in English. 35 years of age. But God says, I can use you. Education. Yes. People come and they have letters after their name. I haven't got any. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because God says, I can use you as you are. That's the important thing that I believe comes out of this. That we're needing to see God can use us as we are. And if you know the story of Paul, then you know that he went through some really rough times. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was stoned. He was in prison. He was even left for dead. But God used him. And despite his special plea to God, take this thorn in the flesh of the way, the Lord mightily used him. But you might say, oh, but my situation's not like Paul. He really was an educated man, and I'm not that well educated. In Exodus, in chapter 3, we see Moses meeting with God. And he says to God, well, who are you, God? And God says, I am. Now, we might say, I am what? But God doesn't qualify himself. He says, I am that I am. And because God is everywhere and that he is in the situation, he doesn't need a word to describe himself. He can say, yes, I am what I am. I am complete. I am there. If I was to say to you, what would you say you were? Would you say, I am? Now, I've got to put a word to it. I've got to describe myself. I am qualified, or I'm unqualified. Maybe you might be feeling really down and saying, well, I'm stupid. In fact, I said that about myself only yesterday, because I thought yesterday was Sunday. I got up, I even got dressed to come here. Put my tie on. My wife says to me, what you got your tie on for? I said, I'm getting ready for church. She says, it's Saturday. I was stupid, wasn't I? I really flipped. But there you are. Is that it? I wouldn't have found anybody here, would I? Anyway, so. But you weren't working, were you? Oh, dearie me, glad that didn't come. Well, the situation is, yeah, we could say that. Well, maybe it's not going quite right for you. And you say, no, I'm screwed up. I've just lost it. Or are we getting there? Well, deep down, I'm really hurting. Not just physically. I'm hurting mentally. And yes, it is true, I can be hurting spiritually. I wonder, maybe we're really filled. We're totally useless. In fact, I've even said to myself, has it come round to the time for me to stop preaching? Am I really up to it anymore? But that's the challenge. But whatever we have as the third word to describe us, we need to realize something. That at this moment in time, that's what God has called us to be. Wait a minute. You mean he really wants me to have this pain? You mean he's really, listen, he's given you the thorn in the flesh. That's which is really troubling you, that you keep asking the Lord to take away. He's saying, but that's the situation in what I want to use you. Because my strength and my power is going to flow through you. In Matthew chapter 16, we have that great declaration by Peter when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter turns around and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh boy, do you wish you had said that? Straight out of Peter's mouth, he always opened it and something came out. But what did Jesus say? You didn't get that by yourself. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. Do you know? A lot of people talk about Jesus outside the church. Oh yes, he was a great man. He did lots of good things. But it's not until you get to the point of saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Saviour, the Deliverer, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." A personal recognition of Jesus, which comes by the activity of the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit can we call Jesus Lord and Master. Yes? But what happened next? The next words of Jesus was, "Thou art the rock, and upon the rock I will build my church." Now, of course, as evangelicals, we know that the rock was the testimony of Peter in saying that "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But upon his word, he's going to build that church. But the point is, when we come to know God personally, he identifies us. He gives us the name that he wants us to have throughout the earthly life and, yes, into the new life in eternity. That's tremendous. He tells us who we are and who he wants us to be. All right, you're saying, I might be just about getting to what you're getting at, but I don't think it's my case. I'm too far gone. You know, God really can't use me. I'm just the tail end, if you like, of the stick. Isaiah 42, verses 3 and 4. Talking about Jesus prophetically. And it said, "The bruised reed he will not break, the smoking flax he will not put out." Boy, have you reached that end where you feel that you're a bruised reed? My wife goes round the garden. I know she often pulls out the weeds, but I don't know. You see people doing flower arrangements. And what are they looking at? They're looking at perfect specimens to grow in the garden or to put in a vase. And anything that is drooping, pull it out, throw it away. But not with Jesus. Doesn't matter how bruised you are, he won't throw you away. Nothing goes into a garbage dump with Jesus. You don't end up in the rubbish bin because you're bruised. He says, "I'm going to use you just as you are." Smoking flax, okay. We don't know much about smoking flax today, but I did grow up with candles. And boy, when that got down to the end, it sort of splattered. And then in the end, the wick just about stood in melted fat of the candle. And the light went out. And, well, it smelt a bit, didn't it, the old candle smoke? But even though it's going out, almost you might feel the end of the life itself is just going out. And then suddenly, Jesus, he's not going to snuff it out. He's not going to get rid of the smoke. He says, I can use you. You might feel you're burnt out, but I can use you. And then lastly, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's tremendous, really. I think I'll just turn that up. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9 says, speaking about Jesus, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, it's a great theological statement. It means that the fullness of God is in Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, everything that God is in Jesus. Okay, that's tremendous. That's Jesus. But what about verse 10? And you, me, are complete in him. Ooh. Complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. What's the scripture saying? It says Jesus is complete. The fullness of God is in him. And we are complete in him. Now, if I accept verse 9, I've got to accept verse 10. I am complete in Jesus, therefore I am usable by him. For all the fullness that is in him, because I am in him, is in me. Oh boy. Dangerous ground, being a heretic? No. I can't give you the quotation, or the verse rather. I'll have to look it up. But Jesus said, before he went away, I will come and dwell in you. I will send the Comforter, and he will come and dwell in you. And the Father dwells in you. Now, forgive me if you think I'm wrong, but in each believer dwells the Trinity. Complete in him. I trust that we're going to be people, even though like Paul, we might say, well, God, take it away. Hold on to the fact the thorn in the flesh is what God wants for me at this time to use me for his glory. May we rejoice in him. When I said to one of the ladies at the church, Rayleigh, I just said to her, I'm going to be speaking in London on Sunday morning, and my subject is God can use me regardless of my condition. And she looked me straight in the face, and you know what she said? She said, yes, but am I willing. Oh boy. Do you ever feel that your sermon's been taken away from you? Am I willing? Well, we're going to close by singing the hymn, All to Jesus, I Surrender. I surrender all. And that will make the difference, because the thorn in the flesh will be used for the glory of God. All to Jesus, I surrender.